Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Greetings and welcome to the ID the Future podcast. This is Casey Leskin broadcasting from Seattle, Washington with Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. And we have on our show today, again, a guest that we've had before, Dennis Wagner, Executive Director of the Access Research Network. Dennis was on our show a while back. Dennis, what were we talking about that other day?
We talked about the kind of the ID top stories of 2006 and reviewed some of the things that were going on in science and politics and other places that made the news last year.
That's right. That's right. And that was a great podcast that we had at the beginning of this year, near the end of last year. And I think that we have some interesting news and updates for our listeners today. What has happened recently is that the Access Research Network has actually launched a new website that is devoted to exploring intelligent design and the arts. And we have Dennis back on our show today to talk a little bit about that website. So, Dennis, what can you tell us about this new ID in the Arts website?
Well, I'll start with kind of where the idea came from. I was over in Europe a couple of years ago, my first trip over there and visiting some of the art museums, and I picked up a little book called Isms, Understanding Art by Stephen Little, and I was fascinated by it because it kind of explained how art has gone through different periods, or they called them isms, that reflected either broad cultural trends or trends in the visual arts or artist-defined movements. And as I started looking at the broad cultural trends in art through the decades and the centuries, we see things like the Renaissance, secularism, humanism, realism, materialism, postmodernism, and you began to see that the intellectual movements are reflected in art. And it got me thinking, well, gee, if intelligent design theory is really true and we see it more and more playing out in science, are we going to see that reflected in art as well? Will we have ideism or a designism or something as a new art movement that reflects the design and nature that we're discovering in science? And so that was kind of the genesis of the idea.
That's very interesting, and I'm sure that you did not use the word genesis there on purpose, Dennis. however, when you do talk about, the arts and origins, the first painting that comes to my mind is obviously the famous Creation of Adam painting on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. And I know that
Right. Obviously
that's a little bit different than ID. It's talking very closely about a biblical reference there. But at the same time, it's clear that this question of where things came from has made an impact on the arts in the past. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yes, I definitely think it has. In fact, one of the paintings that we feature on our website, that website's www.idarts.org, for those who want to go take a look, kind of our mascot painting is one by Salvador Dali that was done in 1963, and that was inspired by the discovery of DNA. Dali, as you know, is a surreal artist, and kind of has a lot of deep meaning in his surreal art. That's one of the things that kind of attracts me to it, not only the images, the interesting images, but trying to understand what he's communicating behind that. And this particular painting, he actually has kind of it's a complex painting. We have a link to a discussion of it, but there's on the right-hand side of it, you'll see this formation of people that are kind of look like a DNA chain. And at the same time, he has this person kind of staring up at the heavens. And there were a lot of things going on that particular year that the art historians reflected in this painting. And one of them was there was this large flood that killed a lot of people, and Dali was kind of grieving about that and kind of capturing that in his painting, as well as this discovery of DNA, which he felt really reflected the design of the universe. And, of course, the scientists at that time, France, Crick and Watson, didn't really view their discovery that way, but others, including this famous artist, really got excited about that and captured that in his painting. So, this isn't really anything new. It goes right back to the Sistine Chapel, and probably even before that, we can find artwork that would reflect design and nature. But I think what we're looking at now is, as far as a newer movement is artwork and art, the arts in general, meaning literature, poetry, music, theater, film, all those things that kind of capture this new level of detail and complexity that we're finding in biological life, and how is that finding its way into the arts?
So instead of life imitating art, we literally are seeing that intelligent design art is art imitating life. Would you say that's maybe true?
I think that's true, and we have one artist that we're featuring, Jody, who had some real insightful things to say about that. She felt that art is really the only proof positive evidence or experiential evidence that we have of design. In other words, something that we can experience in the here and now, because she says that, you know, an artist starts, or an architect or an engineer starts by the mental process of visualizing in their mind's eye the object they want to create. And then they use their will and their ability to organize and manipulate the elements, whatever they're working with, to kind of create that object. And that whole thing is called the creative process. And it begins with a thought in the mind of the designer. And it's followed by planning and actions, which bring that thought into an object or an invention or a painting or whatever. So she said, here's an actual experience that artists can have that reflect, she thinks, the design, the greater design of the universe, and that it starts with a thought, and we end up with the world and people and those types of things. So to me, I'm a scientist mostly, but that was just, for me, an amazing connection. A new way of looking at art as a reflection of the design nature of the world.
Well, yeah, I'm in a similar boat with you, Dennis. I'm an absolute art ignoramus, I guess you might say. I know nothing about art. I'm a science person myself, and this is a very interesting subject for me, and it's neat to hear the perspective of people who do know a lot about art being able to share how they see intelligent design connecting with that. And you mentioned Jody Shogren there, and I understand that some of her artwork is actually on your website, idarts.org, and Jody Shogren has some intelligent design art on the website. Is that true?
Yeah, she's got a couple of really interesting pieces, and she's picked up on this theme of metamorphosis, and you know that's one thing changing into another. And so her artwork, she's got one called Blackbird, where she has the raven, the animal from nature, kind of morphing into the SR-71 Blackbird, which a jet airplane. And her thought was that we look to biological life and its incredible complexity and how it works, and we basically reverse engineer that and use those concepts in building modern airplanes. And she's got another one with the eagle morphing into the new F-22 fighter, and her paintings have actually become quite popular. The Pentagon was involved in commissioning her due to this last one on the F-22 fighter, and PBS recently picked up on that concept too. They had a special on the Raptors, and they made the connection between the Eagles and the F-22 and how man looks to nature to get a lot of his design ideas. So again, this whole concept about reverse engineering, you can't really reverse engineer something that hasn't been engineered in the first place. And so we think that's kind of evidence that our fascination with the visual capability of the fly's eye, or the flight capability, or robotic capabilities that we get from studying a cockroach. I mean, all these things are real research that's going on and being implemented in our real world. And gosh, I just can't think of a better example of design than that. And these paintings by Jody just capture this in a beautiful way that, you'd have to read a 500-page book to understand, but you take a look at a glimpse at her artwork, and the concept's immediately obvious to you.
Wow, wow. Well, thank you very much, Dennis. Again, this website is idarts.org, and we'll be having Dennis Wagner back on this podcast again in the near future for some more information about the ID Arts website. This is Casey Luskin with the ID the Future podcast, signing off. Thanks for listening.
Music on ID the Future comes courtesy of composer Yuri Mamchur. Visit www.yuriproductions.com and check out his latest CD, In the Harbor. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Discovery President is Bruce Chapman. ID the Future Managing Editor is Robert Crowther. And the producer is Keith Finnick. ID the Future and ID Science in the News is copyright Discovery Institute 2006. For more information, visit www.discovery.org. or www.idthefuture.com.